A scientist at Stanford University has conducted the first quantitative scientific evaluation of the proposed major energy-related solutions. Mark Z. Jacobson is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Stanford University, and he's also director of the Atmosphere and Energy Program at Stanford. His study showed that alternative fuels that are getting the most attention aren't the best ones. And we've reached him this morning to talk about what those options are. Mark Jacobson joins me by phone from California this morning. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Lorraine.
You looked at these energy sources based on a real multiplicity of factors: global warming, human health, energy security, water supply, space requirements, wildlife, water pollution, and their reliability and sustainability. This seems very ambitious. Is it unusual for a study to address the issue like this in such a complex way?
Yes, it is, because most scientists are focusing on individual topics, maybe individual energy sources, and they'll look at one source in detail, but not necessarily in context with other energy sources or their impacts.
Biofuels from corn and plant waste came right at the bottom of the list, along with nuclear power and clean coal. Let's take these one by one. What was the very worst, and why?
Ethanol, well, first of all, any type of... I looked at electricity sources, and I looked at vehicle options. And among the vehicle options, I looked at new vehicles, including what are called flex fuel vehicles run on ethanol. And I also looked at hydrogen fuel cell vehicles and battery electric vehicles. And I was comparing these to kind of what we currently have, which is mostly gasoline. And I found that among the new vehicle options, the flex fuel vehicles, which involve combustion, are the worst. And the other types don't involve combustion, or, you know, burning of fuel. They involve, in the case of hydrogen, it's involving a chemical process, so there are very little emissions from that, as long as you produce the hydrogen in a clean way. And for the electricity vehicles, that's just pure electricity, and as long as you produce the electricity in a clean way, that's also clean. But ethanol, because you're still combusting or burning fuel, you still have pollution coming out of the tailpipe, which based on a study that I did that looked at the effects of ethanol versus gasoline in the United States, the combustion products on human health, it was found that the ethanol caused about the same or slightly worse health damage per year as gasoline vehicles. And to put that in context, I mean, right now, air pollution in the United States kills prematurely each year 50 to 100,000 people per year. Worldwide, it's about 2.5 million people per year. So it's one of the leading causes of death worldwide. And so, but in the United States, of the air pollution deaths, maybe about 25 to 30% are due to vehicles. So if you, today, there might be 25,000 deaths per year from vehicles, but even in 2020, when we'd convert to all the, if we converted many to many ethanol vehicles, you get about this maybe 15,000 deaths, because vehicle technologies will have improved, and with gasoline, and if you convert to ethanol, you'll get slightly more due to the some of the higher pollutants that come out of ethanol vehicles. So in terms of air pollution health, it was by far the worst, because something like wind energy, which is that's used to produce electricity for battery electric vehicles, well, that eliminates about 99.5% of all emissions. The only emissions are due to the production of the wind turbines and the maintenance and the scrapping of them. And also, there's no emissions from the tailpipe, so it eliminates effectively all 25,000 deaths today or 15,000 deaths in the future. So almost all air pollution deaths are eliminated with battery electric vehicles, where the electricity is produced by wind. And the same with some of these other options like concentrated solar power, geothermal power. Same thing applies to the carbon balance. Many people are concerned about, you know, global warming, as we should be, and ethanol vehicles, depending on how you produce the ethanol, if it's from corn, the latest studies show that the net carbon emissions for the production of the ethanol, all the way from the growing of the crops to converting the crops to ethanol, the transport of the fuel, and the combustion, even accounting for the regrowth of reduction of carbon from the atmosphere, it's compared to the production and use of gasoline. The latest study showed that the emissions from corn ethanol are about the same or up to almost double the emissions for gasoline. And even if you produce it, the ethanol from cellulosic material, which is a next generation of ethanol, that could also increase the carbon emissions, carbon dioxide and equivalent emissions, by up to 50% if you account for land use change in other countries.
Those ethanol-based biofuels sort of came out on the bottom, but also some of the ones that you found not to come out well in your study were nuclear and clean coal. And I've actually heard nuclear described by an analyst as the new green energy. What's he missing there?
Well, there are a couple of problems with nuclear, just in terms of the air pollution and carbon emissions. Then there are some larger scale problems. In terms of the carbon and air pollution emissions, well, first of all, it takes energy to build a nuclear plant. It takes energy to mine the uranium and transport the uranium. In fact, the other thing is the nuclear plant, it takes about 10 to 19 years from planning to operation. So, for example, once you start planning a nuclear plant, it won't even operate in the United States for at least 10 to 19 years, and the 10 years would be the absolute minimum based on new regulations. But for a wind farm or a solar plant or many of these other technologies, it only takes 2 to 5 years to get those operating. So in the meantime, the difference between that time is called the opportunity cost, where you're still emitting the regular electricity grid emissions, which is mostly coal. And so if you account for that opportunity cost emissions plus the difference in the what's called the life cycle emissions of producing the nuclear plant and the fuel and running the plant, then it turns out that nuclear puts out about 25 times more carbon than wind energy and for the same electricity generation. Now, that doesn't also, the bigger problem with nuclear is the fact that if you wanted to solve global warming and energy problems on a large scale, you would need huge numbers of nuclear power plants, not only in the United States, but also worldwide. So historically, there's a clear link between the spread of nuclear energy facilities and nuclear weapons facilities. So just to give you a simple straight example, is both India and Pakistan, the West sold them nuclear energy technologies to build nuclear power plants for energy, and then those countries both converted those power plants into, they used them as well for producing fuel for nuclear weapons secretly. So there has been a historic clear link, not only in those examples, but in other examples, of when you spread out nuclear energy, you also spread nuclear weapons. So there's a risk of one of these weapons actually being used one day. And so if we account for that potential for the use, then it's possible that millions of people could eventually die just because of the spreading of nuclear energy. And if you account for that additional death rate and also the burning of cities, that result could emit a lot of carbon that would eliminate some of the carbon emissions that you've saved from the nuclear energy plant.
That's quite a striking comparison. I don't think I've ever heard it quite put that way before.
Yeah, and in fact, in the study, it quantified the potential carbon emissions from just a small nuclear exchange. And, of course, the probability of that can be anywhere from zero. It might not happen, or it could, even if you just have one event over the next 30 years, there's huge potential death rate in particular, and some carbon emissions as a result of burning of a city. So policymakers, obviously that's not, the carbon emissions are not what people are going to be concerned about if that happens, but policymakers, when thinking about these different technologies, have to consider the potential not only for security of the countries and security of people living in countries, but also for the potential emissions that could result from the spreading of nuclear energy. So we're not talking about just a few plants here and there. We're talking about hundreds to thousands of new nuclear power plants. And just to give you an idea of why this is, just to give you a comparison, if you wanted to power the entire vehicle fleet of the United States on battery electric vehicles powered by electricity from nuclear energy versus wind energy, so the footprints required on the ground for nuclear energy plants, you need about 280 to 850 megawatt nuclear power plants. In addition, so that's in addition to the 100 we currently have in the United States, another 280. That would take up a footprint accounting for the buildings and also the uranium mining and the storage of the waste of about the size of the state of Rhode Island. And wow, that footprint compares to a footprint on the ground for a wind energy of 3 square kilometers, because it's just a tube touching the ground. Now, wind, you need spacing between the turbines, and that's about 0.5% of the United States, or a lot of it can be done offshore. But we're talking a footprint on the ground of 3 square kilometers versus the state of Rhode Island to power the U.S. vehicle fleet.
Wow,
we're
that's
talking
stunning.
Big differences.
Wow. So you've alluded to a couple of the reasons why wind power came out on top. What is it that makes it the best alternative?
Well, it was the best in terms of first I should say that concentrated solar power, which came in second, was pretty close. So that's very good too, and geothermal is also very good. So there are some very good options. But the reason wind was stronger was because it had the lowest carbon emissions and the lowest air pollution emissions. But this footprint is very important. It's so small, 3 square kilometers. No other power source comes even close to it. And it's important because it means that you still have that land saved for wildlife or for other uses, such as farming or grazing. But it also preserves carbon. So you can imagine if you're in North Dakota and you have grassland, that grassland stores a lot of carbon, not so much above the ground, but below the ground. There's more than 30 times more carbon below the ground from that years of decomposition of grassland than above the ground. And if you leave that grassland, you're really storing carbon. Whereas if you cover it up with pavement or buildings, which you do with all these other energy facilities, then you're basically the stuff that's on over the ground will be cut down and will decay and go into the atmosphere as carbon dioxide, and the stuff below the ground will also decay over time and be released to the air. So you have extra carbon storage when you have wind energy compared to any of these other energy sources, and you preserve land for wildlife to live in, or you can use it for other purposes. So, and the other thing is the water use. I mean, some of these technologies use a lot of water. I mean, nuclear, coal, regardless if it has carbon capture, ethanol is the highest, actually even hydroelectric, which is very clean, but it does use a lot of water because of evaporation of water that's stored in the reservoirs. But wind is the lowest also with respect to the water use.
In terms of wind, people have sometimes said that wind and wave power are too variable to provide steady amounts of electricity. How do you respond to that?
Yes, true that wind and wave power and solar power are all variable. And whereas coal and even nuclear and geothermal are, provide steady sources of power. However, when we look at how to supply the existing power, first, the power demand is not fixed. It's not flat over the day. It varies every day, every hour. In fact, it peaks usually in the afternoon. So these other power sources that have flat supplies don't actually match the power demand. And currently what you need are what's called peaker plants, like natural gas plants are usually used, that are turned on in the middle of the day to meet the power demand. So even right now, we don't have like a good, great solution. But what�                                                                                                                ================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================ but there are about five things you can do. One is, well, for wind itself, wind doesn't necessarily blow at one location at one time, but when you look over a larger region, when the wind is not blowing in one place, it's often blowing in somewhere else. So if you connect geographically dispersed wind farms together, what happens is you smooth out the electricity supply considerably. And this we demonstrated, and several other people have demonstrated with data and actual wind farm data, where you can smooth it out. The other thing is if you combine wind with solar and geothermal and hydroelectric power, well, solar peaks during the day, usually at noon. Wind in many locations peaks at night, and so they complement each other. So you can adjust the amount of wind and solar and better match the actual peaks that occur, the power demand that occurs. And then on the West Coast in particular, up in Vancouver and Washington, state of Washington, Oregon, California, where we have a lot of hydroelectric power. Hydroelectric power is used today to balance loads, and so it can be used to fill in the gaps without even changing the amount of power, amount of hydroelectric power that much, or even at all. Just using existing hydroelectric power, it can be used because it can be turned on and off within 30 seconds. And so we found, for example, that if you combine a solar, wind, hydroelectric, and geothermal together in California, we could, theoretically, supply 80% of the electric power smoothly, the power demand, hour by hour. Now, the other things you do is if we convert to battery electric vehicles and hydrogen fuel cell vehicles, well, hydrogen is a storage for energy. So it is a fuel, but it's used chemically. And so the wind doesn't need to blow or the sun doesn't need to shine. On a regular basis, you just need to accumulate the hydrogen over time and then just use it when you want. In the case of battery vehicles, well, if you plug in your car at night, and there are these technologies being developed called smart meters, where the utility can control when you get your electric power as long as you get it within an 8-hour period, then they can then use the fact that the wind is not necessarily blowing at a given instant, but just it does accumulate over the night and provide you with the right amount of power. So there are many ways, just being kind of thinking through the process of smoothing out the electricity supply to match the demand when you use these intermittent renewable energies.
How do you hope the results of your research will influence the direction of energy policy in the United States?
Well, I mean, I hope that people start to focus more on the technologies that are good and less on the ones that receive the most lobbings, because right now the way things work is that, well, the policymakers tend to want to try a little bit of everything, hope something works, and they often they'll believe that all of them are good technologies, and that they'll all provide some benefit, so we might as well try them all. But what we found is that some are just much better than others, and conversely, some are just much worse than others, and some don't even provide any benefit. But if you think it through, I mean, like clean coal, what's called clean coal, well, it's not really clean coal. It's taking the coal combustion and putting the CO2 from that coal combustion, separating it out, and putting it underground. Well, it would sound like it's clean, but it actually doesn't. Not all the emissions from coal combustion or from coal power generation are from the combustion. A lot of those emissions are actually from the mining of the coal and the transport of the coal, and then plus the sequestration. Even though it doesn't even exist, it's proposed to reduce about 85% to 90% of the carbon from the power plant. Well, that. If you add up all the numbers, well, also it turns out it takes out 25% more energy to run the carbon capture plant. And so that means 25% more coal mining. So when you run all the numbers, this clean coal really only reduces 50 to 60% of the carbon emissions, which is better than kind of the not clean coal, but it's still about 60 to 100 times more carbon being put out than wind energy. So, you know, there's some technologies that are just a lot better than other technologies. And if we invest in the technologies that are not so good, then that's like an opportunity cost. That means you're going to have additional emissions and additional land use, additional water consumption, compared to the better technologies. So it turns out we have enough power from real clean renewables, solar, wind in particular, but also adding geothermal, tidal, wave, and existing hydroelectric. We have enough to power the world many, many times over. In the United States, 15% of the land has wind fast enough to provide relatively moderate to low cost electricity. But we only need about 0.5% in terms of the spacing to power the entire U.S. vehicle fleet. So we have 30 times more wind than we need to power the vehicle fleet. So there's plenty of clean renewables, and the solar, there's even more solar than wind. So there's plenty of clean renewables. So the question is, why should we even work with other technologies that we know are less efficient, even in their best case? As I say, you know, coal with carbon capture doesn't even exist in any power plant today. So, I mean, that's all hypothesis, whereas wind energy does exist. Solar energy, concentrated solar exists. Photovoltaics exist. Geothermal exists. These are all existing technologies. Why not just focus our attention on those things that we know are good and not on the things that we know are not good or don't exist and are just people are hoping would be good one day?
Well, it's been great talking to you about this morning. Thanks very much for joining me.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mark Z. Jacobson is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Stanford University, and he's also the director of the Atmosphere and Energy Program at Stanford University. And if you go to our website at coopradio.org/redeye, you can find a link to a summary of his study.